I don't know, getting up after that song service, y'all might kind of be let down, you know. It's kind of hard to come up and do the second act of that, isn't it? Demonstration of God's love, and a lot of things we've talked about goes along with the scripture I want to share with you today. Prayed about this and studied some yesterday morning on it, and I believe I've got the message God sent. Isn't that a good feeling? You know, I say, some of you look up and say, well, is there ever a doubt? Yeah, there's a lot of times a doubt, you know. Y'all don't ever have a doubt. Well, this is what I need to do. This is what I don't need to do. But I believe I've got the message that God would have me deliver here this morning. So y'all just pray that God give me freedom to deliver it. And I pray that you'll receive it. I want to start in 2 Peter, if you'll turn with me, chapter 1. 2 Peter and 2 Peter chapter 1 and a couple of verses there. We understand Peter, and I love to read after him and follow his lifestyle and the way he did. A very excitable man, that's what I read of him. I mean, he could get fired up in a heartbeat, right? I mean, the Spirit of the Lord come on him, he's just liable to do anything. He'll get out of the boat and walk on the water. Amen. I mean, so many things you see that Peter doing. And I love to read about that and about the excitement that he had and the joy that he had, because he knew who the Lord Jesus was as his Savior, and he was being obedient to God. Now, that brings excitement. So I think a lot of times, you know, we lose a little edge, we lose a little excitement because we just got to thinking about everything's the same and routine. And Peter had a way of dealing with this like nobody else did. And so in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 12, it said, "Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance." So he was dealing with a situation that people were living day after day after day, and they were kind of getting callous to the promise and the joy and the happiness of God. So he goes in, he said, "I want to stir you up a little bit. I want to put you in remembrance of the things God has done in your life, and at times God delivered when you couldn't." And so through these things, he began to stir them up, put them in remembrance. And I thought always that we still need this today, that I would not be negligent to tell you and stir you up today by reminding you what God has done in your life. Amen. You know, we seem to forget. We're people of short-term memories, right? You know, God delivered us last week, but we forgot it this week. But there's a deliverance from God, and there's a power of God that's present with us at all times. So Peter said, "I want to stir you up a little bit." He said, I don't want you to be negligent. I want you to put you in remembrance of the things that God has already taken care of in your life. Past tense. God's already done these things. When I began reading through this yesterday and yesterday morning pretty early and thinking about what would stir me up, you know, what would get me excited, what would make me want to get up and praise and worship an almighty God. You know, there's certain things, and I'm sure that everybody's got their start button in a different position, but God can push them wherever they're at. You know, what cranks your tractor? You know, what gets you motivated and fired up? And I began thinking about God. I began to, you know, just took time out yesterday morning, let everything else go for a while. I thought, you know, that can come later. I want to give God a little time this morning while I'm fresh and before I'm wore down at the end of the day. And I stopped from the business of life. I stopped of the things that were going on around me. Sometimes that's what we have to do. Just push the stop button and say, I'm not going to contend with things of the world. I'm not going to worry about the things going on around me. I'm going to think about God. I stopped just long enough and I began to comprehend and also appreciate all the blessings and miracle that God has done for me and for us in this life. Now, I'm telling you, that'll stir me up. When I get thinking about, okay, I remember that time when we couldn't pay the light bill and God took care of it. I remember that time when we were sick and God raised us up. I remember that time when God bonded our family and put it together and held it that way. And these things began to get me excited and stirred up. And as I thought on all these things, you know, about the miracles that God's done for me in this life, and I want you to know, if that's not enough to stir you up, if that's not enough to really crank your tractor and get you fired up thinking about what God's done for you in this life, I want you to think about the promises that He's given you for eternal life. I'm telling you. Now, if this life's not enough, you just think about the eternal life, that the promise of God that's coming. And people, I believe, get a little more excited, and they think, I just want to praise and worship an almighty God this morning. I sat and tried to comprehend all these things, and I was just overwhelmed. I mean, it's just overwhelming to think the things that God has done for us in this life and the promises He's given for eternal life. It's just an overwhelming aspect to think about God. And at the end of all this, I came to one conclusion. It's all love. It's just all about the love of God. You can't account it to anything else. It's just about God's love. And I thought how much in our churches today we need that God's love flowing breast to breast, overwhelming us, overcoming us. It's just about love. You can't account it to anything other than that, the love of God. I began to think about that, and I thought how precious it was to think about God not only loves all of us, He loves every one of us. You know, you group these things in a whole and it don't sound like much. You know, to say God loves all of us. God loves the world. But when you bring it down to individual, God loves every one of us. And that love's been demonstrated time after time through my life, and I'm sure through your life, that He's changed our directions. He's changed our plans. He's changed our health issues, because God can do these things because He loves you this morning. It's the love of God. John 3:16, very plainly it said, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And we start demonstrating and seeing the power of God delivered to us on a daily basis through this Word and through the promises that He's made and the situation He helps us with in life. It's just all about love. I count it all to the love of God. That's what excites me. That's an unchanging love. Unmerited love. Unearned. It's a gift of God. Believing on the Son of God. For God so loved the world. For God so loved Luther. And for God so loved Kenny. And for God so loved Dennis. And you could go through the whole congregation and call everybody's name. For God so loved, gave His only begotten Son. It's all about love. That's all we could account it to, that God loved us. I read John 3:16. And I want everybody here to know I believe in miracles. But I trust in Jesus. I believe in miracles. I've saw miracles. But I trust in Jesus. You know, miracles are a gift from God. And I may get another miracle in this life, and I may not, but I've got Jesus. See, God didn't promise miracles to everyone, but He promised Jesus. I believe in miracles, but I trust in Jesus. Isn't that a good thought? You may get a miracle today. We've saw miracles in just in the last few hours of our life, a few days of our life. But everybody's got Jesus. I'm so thankful to tell you this morning, for God so loved the world. And you could add your name right there, for God so loved you. As I thought about God, yesterday morning, you know, I just tried to concentrate and focus and think about God. Well, what came in my mind was the Trinity. You know, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. You know, we've got a scripture on that. 1 John chapter 5, verse 7, very plain about it. It said, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one." And I began thinking about the love of God multiplied times three. Now, can you imagine that? The love of God, which is unaccountable, you just can't imagine how much, but then multiplied times three. It said, because these three are one. And I started thinking about this Trinity of God. God the Father, God the Word, God the Holy Ghost. These three are one. And I started thinking about how could you define this Trinity of God other than saying, you know, there's three times the love. And I began thinking about how could you define this. And, you know, I believe if you really try to define the Trinity of God in our carnal minds that we could lose our minds. But I also want to tell you something else. If you deny this Trinity, you'll lose your soul. This is God's Word. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, God the Word, God the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. And I'm again thinking about that. How many people want to deny God and the Trinity? Trying to define it, you could lose your mind. But if you deny it, you could lose your soul. And so as I spent my time thinking about God, and I thought about, you know, people losing their soul because they're denying the Godhead. They're denying the power of God. They're not accepting the plan of God and His grace on the cross of Calvary. And I began thinking about what we need to be about is seeing souls saved. And so, you know, we think about and focus on that we preach to you God's love. And God's love is all about your salvation and your soul being saved by His grace. Not by our power, not by our works, but by God's grace. And that's what we want to concentrate on today, that if you're not right with God, if you're not saved by the power through the grace that He's given to the whole world, that you not trust in a miracle one day, but you trust in Jesus. You know, there's a lot of people who trust in a miracle, but I want to tell you, you got to trust in Jesus. You know, this whole service has kind of been leaned. Even I sat in a little bit in the Sunday school class out here, and Mark started talking about the power of the Holy Spirit and it availing and revealing to us. He was teaching in the place of Scripture that it said their ears were dull of hearing and their eyes they couldn't see. And he said it's because they didn't want to. That's a good illustration. A lot of people don't want to see. They don't want to hear. And I got thinking about while he was sitting there, you know, I can preach the truth today. I can preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, but only the Holy Ghost of God can apply it. You know, I'm limited on what I can make you to believe. I'm limited on what I can do to persuade you. I can preach the gospel. I can preach the truth, but the Holy Ghost of God has to apply it to your heart. And with that knowledge and that understanding, I think we'll just call time out. And I want everybody in this church that will to pray, God, send the Holy Ghost. God, send the power. We sing the song, oh, Lord, send the power just now. Now's when we need it. Everybody pray and let's request God to send this Holy Spirit. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for the day you've blessed us to come together, that we worship and praise you. Father, we come with requests on our heart, knowing the power, the influence of the Holy Spirit. God, we pray that you'd send it just now. God, that it anoint each and every soul in this church. God, that it be real to them, that they feel the power flowing from breast to breast. God, we praise you that you give us this opportunity, that we can pray and request and ask, God, and you'd bless our request in this time and this hour. Father, that we be uplifted and strengthened. Father, that your word be made heard plain and clear. God, that closed eyes and blindness might be removed, that they see the need for Jesus Christ. God, send the power just now. Oh, God, just send the power just now. We pray, Father, it just sit on each and every one of us, that it just submerges and baptizes in the Holy Spirit of God. Father, we praise you for your gift. God, we feel the power. Father, we feel the strength right now. All in Jesus' name, amen. Let's look over the book of Romans just for a few minutes. Romans chapter 1, I think, is where I'm going to. I'll get there in a minute. Romans chapter 1, I want to talk about Jesus. I want to talk about the burden that we should have to tell people about the Lord Jesus, that we tell them and God reveal it to them by this Holy Spirit, this Holy Ghost that I talk. Do y'all feel any difference in the church? Amen. I believe the Holy Spirit's up on us, don't you? That we're feeling the power, and He's gonna illuminate you in the Word. He's going to let you hear the Word of God this morning. And then you'll be responsible for it. Romans chapter 1, verse 14. Paul speaking, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarian, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Amen. Paul had a burden. I'm talking about Paul owed a debt. You know, God had called him to share this gospel of Jesus Christ to the worldwide and everybody he came in contact to. And he felt this burden and he felt this obligation that he stood. And I can feel like that this morning, that I owe you a debt to tell you that there's a Savior. His name is Jesus. Amen. It's my responsibility as pastor, and I'm debtor and owe you to tell you that there's a heaven and a hell, and you can make the choice. It's your choice that God gives to us. And through that Holy Spirit, it'll be revealed to you. Now, I can tell you, He's going to show you. I can make you hear it. He'll make you understand it. I can speak the words, and He'll let you feel it. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Praise God for a good helper this morning. I'm telling you what, it's wonderful to step in the pulpit and know you've got the help of God through the Holy Spirit to share the Word. I may fail, He won't. I may stumble, He won't. I may run out of breath, He won't. So when we look, and Paul said, I've got a burden, because he is concerned about the lost people. He was concerned about souls dying and burning and perishing. And he was concerned about people making the promise of God to heaven. And so that burden carries on this morning. In verse 17 it said, for therein is righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Everybody listen up. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and all unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. I thought about this yesterday. When God says, thou shalt not. Y'all ever read that? When God says, thou shalt not. You know what that ought to mean to everybody here? It ought to mean, don't hurt yourself. When God says, thou shalt not, He means don't hurt yourself. Because it's hurtful and it's painful when God says, thou shalt not, and you do. And then when God says, thou shalt, ought to mean everybody here, help yourself to happiness. Just have a dose of joy. When God says, thou shalt, and you do it on His permission. Don't hurt yourself. That's fair enough warning, isn't it? That's fair enough warning. I mean, a lot of people don't want to hear it. I said this Wednesday night, I've come to a conclusion in this, that going to the doctor and going to church is a lot alike. Both places you'll find out what's wrong with you. Amen. That's why a lot of people ain't here today. They don't want to know what's wrong with them. That's why I don't go to doctors. I just hated to have to bring that up. Now I hear that from my wife for 30 days. Amen. She'll say, you said it, not me. Verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest unto them, for God has shown it unto them. For the invisible things from Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by all the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. You know, I hear excuses all the time. And if you got excuses, you need to try them out on me. You need to let me hear them, because God's not interested about excuses. So you might make an excuse with me and I'd believe it. God knows better. And so when we begin understanding that He's made known His presence, He's made known His power. All these people that walk around in this wonderful, beautiful world that God's made and can't realize that it was God's hand, I don't know about them, do you? They'll give credit to somebody else. But I want you to understand, it said they are without excuse. So there's no excuses today. A lot of them made, but they're not really good, are they? Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. We got a lot of foolish people around in the neighborhood today, hadn't we? That knew God, that knows God's power, but they chose not to glorify Him. They chose to live as they wish. They chose to do what they want. They chose not to glorify God. How's the greatest way you could glorify God? It's not with tongues and lips, but it's with life. Amen. It's living in a way that glorifies an almighty God. I think about saw all these folks that they knew God, but they glorified Him not. They've got caught up in the other things of the world that they don't give the glory to God. The greatest way to glorify God is by your life. It said, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Got a lot of foolish people, hadn't we? That's choosing not to glorify God. And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, into birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Changed the image of God. The things that's made by man in likeness to man and birds and four-footed things, creeping things. That's all taking place and going on today. I'm so thankful that we're here in this service with the revelation of the Holy Spirit that we receive and understand and know God and worship and praise Him and know the free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. That's what it's about today. Wherefore God also gave them up to the uncleanness through their lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Worshipping the creature, the creation, instead of the Creator. That's going on today. But I want you to understand that today, I believe our prayer is answered. The Holy Spirit's present to reveal to you about salvation, about living the life God would have you to live. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. I'm going to praise Him forever for that. Let's have a verse of a song. If that Spirit of God's dwelling and moving on you and you need to get something took care of in your life, whatever it might be, God's got the answer. God's got the answer. I said earlier, God's never in a hurry, but He's never late. He's on time with you today. That Spirit touching your heart and your soul and your mind that you're thinking, I need to get something right today. Whether it's for salvation or whatever it may be, God could take care of it. God could take care of it. You can come down here and pray and meet God, or you can meet Him right where you stand. If you need somebody to pray with you and you think, I don't know if I can get down there, I don't want to go down there, you raise your hand and I'll send some folks to pray with you. God can take care of your need today, whatever it might be. You know, I've had a strong feeling all morning that this would be a special day. You know, we're celebrating the week of Independence. Why not you celebrate today independence from whatever it is that's holding you and hindering you from doing the work of God? Whatever it might be, God's got an answer for you. If you'll call on Him, He'll answer. Anybody that needs to pray, you come on down. Need to join the church, we can handle that. Whatever it might be. Whatever it might be. Going to sing a verse of a song. And my prayer is, oh Holy Spirit, just flow breast to breast. I hope it sets on each and every one of you. Like you read in the book of Acts, that it came down and set on each other. That you feel God's power and strength right here today. Sing a verse of a song. Do one more verse. I believe the Lord's working with some folks. To see everybody come this way. Keep continuing to pray for the church. Pray for each other. That's necessity and needful in this day and time. And we pray for each other. Pray for all those that's out on vacation, on trips. This side's pretty good today. This side, I don't know if this was a ship, we'd capsize. Be just like that, wouldn't it? Now this side's pretty full. That was a little bit slack this morning. I guess it's the left-hand people's turn to be on vacation, right? Amen. So, everybody pray about that also. We'll balance this thing out one day. Right? Oh, we're not done yet. Y'all sit down if you want to.
You know, I went to a funeral this week, and there's a lot of young people here. You know, Joseph Raines, you know, 20-year-old. I got married when I was 20-year-old. And I looked at, went to this funeral, I looked at these young kids crying and the tears and stuff, you know, and I said, why couldn't they cried for him, you know, before this happened? You know, this kid, I didn't see the bad side of this kid. I knew him, I knew his grandpa, I knew his mom and daddy, and I knew the granddaddies. This kid was good to me. Well, he worked at O'Reilly's right there, and I knew when he got 15-year-old, his daddy bought him a Corvette. We want our kids to have some and do better. But you know, the most thing they need to be is bring them to God's house.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, if you're a grandpa or a daddy, I think the man's side, that's our responsibility.
That's right.
Our responsibility. You know, the way we talk, the what we say, and what we do, you know, it's a shame that what kids have to hear from their own parents and not even dedicated to come to God's house. You know, my daddy didn't raise six perfect kids. We went to church. We knew Wednesday night, Sunday morning where we was going.
That's right.
And we all got up and we sinned, but, you know, we still had good parents that, you know, my daddy's beat the hide off of me, you know. And the day they arrested my daddy, you know, whipping. Hey, I don't regret one time my daddy gave me a whipping. Not one time. Even though I got a whipping when I was 18 years old, I don't regret that. But I'm telling you, kids, and y'all sitting here today, and y'all see all these pills and junk and garbage and these telephones and internet. You know, my wife's sitting right there. She knows what I feel about that junk. That's of the devil. I can tell you some stuff that kid even put on Facebook And people, and his own mama ain't seen this, you know. But you can't wait to get 18-year-old and give him a whipping. I've got grandkids, and I love my grandkids. I mean, and they know I love them. And they might think sometimes I'm hard, but I want, you know, you're going to have to do something. The world is messed up. We was down there yesterday at Bear Creek, and this girl was telling about this boy that he wasn't that way. Something caused him to be that way, which Wesley said he used to play ball, and he got out. You know, I believe kids, they need to be in sports something. And then this other woman, she met suicide down here. My best buddy right here, Early White, met suicide. I don't understand that. But we're going to have to tell our kids we love them more. And, you know, just like I say, spare the rod, spoil the child. I know it hurts. I had to whip both my grandkids the other week with a hickory. And people in here today probably sitting right here, they think it's bad. It ain't bad. Because when they get old, you're going to cry. Amen. If you'd seen that funeral, people that cried, and you young kids that cried, and grown-ups cried for a 20-year-old kid, clean-cut kid, but he got burdened down with junk of the world. Junk and junk. I'm going to tell you, daddies, the men, I'm saying the men, folks. My wife raised my kids. I worked. But they knew when daddy said something, do it. And I'm going to say, grandpas and daddies, hey, I'm telling you today, you better grow up and act like something, buddy. You need to get your kids in church. We've been off here, look this side right over here. We went to fireworks over there last night, and you couldn't even find a parking place. Where they at this morning, laying in the bed or watching television or something.
That's right.
I'm telling you, it's fulfilling the Bible. Look at the whole government up there. It needs to be prayed for. We're in a mess. And we're in a mess, but it's fulfilling Bible. The Lord's coming back. But I'm telling you, as men folks of this church and all around us, hey, we need to grow up. I'm talking about myself, too. You know, if I had to beat my grandkids every day, you know, heck, beat them. It takes it. Huh? Right there, Flo sits right here. Hey, I was raised over at Bill Gray's. When you went over Bill Gray's, you done what he said, or you'd get a whipping like the rest of them. It was yes or no, sir. Hey, I don't forget stuff like that. Just like today, we got this air conditioning. When I started church here, we rolled the windows up. We didn't have no air conditioning. Got padded pews and all. Hey, I love you. I'm up here trying to be hateful, but I'll tell you what, it's changed my life. It changed my life this week. To see all these young kids, and just like Weston, I was talking to that girl yesterday, you know, here she's sitting there talking to me the whole time with a beer in her hand. A beer in her hand. Probably 20, 21 year old. I tell you, it's a mess. Let's just grow up. Grow up.
She's texted me how many times this week. Said, Mom, I love you. I love you, Mom. Connor's like, Mom, please don't ever do that. I think we as a church, we need to reach out to other people. And I have seen my failure. I want to be aware of people's needs. Those around that are hurting, that they need to be told about Jesus and his love for them. And I'm just, it's awakened me too. And y'all just remember this Susan Marshall family, those girls, she had five children, and just gave up on life, and y'all just remember them. The funeral, I don't know, I'm sure it's been arranged, but don't know yet, so just remember the Marshall family.
I guess it is a wake-up call when you hear about your neighbors and and see the folks, you know. But you know, it's too late after it's over. How a tree lies, so it shall fall. So we got to make a difference now. Got to make a difference now. You know, after breath passes and death's come, can't change it then. We can pray for the family, but we can't change anything in our situations. But so now would be the time. Amen. Everybody stand. We're going to be dismissed. Good to see a good crowd out.